Hello, hello, and happy Thursday, and welcome to the Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to read God's Word with you. We're in Isaiah chapter 47 today. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. This is another prophecy about the humiliation of Babylon. This is what will happen to those happy and haughty and self-absorbed and pampered people of Babylon who think that they are where they are because of their own might or because they deserve it. Oh goodness, Lord, please be gentle with us and help us to see that anything we have is a gift from you. Starting in verse 1, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground without a throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For you shall no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind flour. Put off your veil. Strip off your robe. Uncover your legs. Pass through the rivers. Your nakedness shall be uncovered and your disgrace shall be seen. I will take vengeance and I will spare no one. Our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, is the Holy One of Israel. Sit in silence and go into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you shall no more be called the mistress of kingdoms. I was angry with my people. I profaned my heritage. I gave them into your hand. You showed them no mercy. On the aged, you made your yoke exceedingly heavy. You said, I shall be mistress forever, so that you did not lay these things to heart or remember their end. Now therefore, hear this, you lovers of pleasures, who sit securely, who say in your heart, I am, and there is no one besides me. I shall not sit as a widow or know the loss of children. These two things shall come to you in a moment, in a day. The loss of children and widowhood shall come upon you in full measure, in spite of your many sorceries and the great power of your enchantments. You felt secure in your wickedness. You said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge led you astray, and you said in your heart, I am, and there is no one besides me. But evil shall come upon you, which you will not know how to charm away. Disaster shall fall upon you, for which you will not be able to atone. And ruin shall come upon you suddenly, of which you know nothing. So Babylon is an instrument of God's wrath on the people of Israel. But even though they were an instrument to bring down Israel, who was an idol worshiper and not believing in the one true God, Babylon will be judged because of the way that they went about conquering Israel. It says in verse 6 that even on the aged, they made their yoke exceedingly heavy. So they were brutal and they carted people off into exile and they didn't show them any mercy. And so God says, I'm not going to show mercy on you either. Verse 8 kind of hit home with me. Now therefore, hear this, you lovers of pleasures, who say in your heart, I am, and there is no one besides me. This is an opportunity for correction in our hearts. Are we more about our pleasure, or are we more about the kingdom of God? Are we confident in who we are and think things are always going to be this way? Or do we hold things loosely, being reminded that God is the giver of all good gifts? Okay, we need to move on to Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 30. There's an interesting word in the ESV here. It says in verse 22 that Paul is going to Jerusalem constrained by the Spirit. And I looked up the word constraint and it means limitation or restriction. And so here we are being reminded of the limited and finite nature of human beings. And I want to contrast that as we think through this story about the limitless nature of our God and the way that He is infinite. Starting in verse 17. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them." Wayne and I have been talking recently because he's been reading a lot about this subject, the subject of our limitedness and how we as humans are finite. And this is actually a blessing upon us. We are not infinite. We cannot do all things and be all places like God can. We weren't made for that. And we've been talking about how important it is for us to be with the people in the room with us, and how often when we're at a restaurant, we see everybody on their phone and how they're together, but they're not really together. And it's our attempt at being infinite. We want to be multiple places at once, but we can't do that well. The only one who is limitless and can hear your prayers and he can hear my prayers and he can be at work in your life and in my life at the same time is God the Father. And in the constraints that the Lord gives us, where he says, go here, don't go there, or you are going to pursue this thing and not the other thing, may it be that he, by his Spirit, is leading us in paths that are level. And so I want to turn this into a prayer. Oh Lord, constrain and limit and restrict us in ways that will guide us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And one more thing about Acts 20. In verse 20, Paul says that he did not shrink from declaring to the people anything that was profitable. And I want to pray that, Lord, you would give us courage to speak, and you would always give us empathy to speak truth in love. Let us end today by making Psalm 109, verses 26 and 27, a prayer. I hope you have a wonderful day. Will you pray with me? Help us, O Lord our God. Save us according to your steadfast love. Let them know that this is your hand. You, O Lord, have done it. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.